As a nation, we are spending more and getting less for it. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. In the month of June, we consumers of the United States spent $680.6 billion on retail and food, we just learned from the Census Bureau. That is 1% more than we spent the previous month. But also, everything was more expensive in June. Prices were up 1.3%. So let's sort this out with Christopher Lowe, as we do on Fridays. He's chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Sabri.
So if we spent 1% more, but everything costs 1.3% more also, does that mean we spent more and got less in June?
It's exactly what it means. Retail spending on goods, still under pretty significant pressure, unable to keep pace with inflation.
But, you know, at the same time, people are still shelling that money out. They're shelling more money out. I mean, what should we take from that? That can't be good for consumers.
It's not. People are resorting to debt, which indeed the data show they are. They are dipping into savings, and the data show that as well. And, you know, as you pointed out, we're still ending up with less stuff at the end of the day. This is the price of high inflation.
All right. Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Thank you so much, as always.
Thank you, Sabri.
China's zero COVID policy has kept COVID largely under control there. But at what cost? Well, today we got a snapshot. China reported its weakest quarter of economic growth since 2020, when the pandemic first started. From April to June of this year, the Chinese economy grew just 0.4%. The economy in some regions actually shrank. Economic output in Shanghai, for example, fell nearly 14% compared to last year. Here's more from our China correspondent, Jennifer Pak, in Shanghai.
China's economy took the biggest hit in April and May. That's when Shanghai was put under a strict lockdown. Even cargo coming in and out of the port was swabbed for COVID, causing delays. Shanghai officials started to lift restrictions in June, but other places remained in lockdown. Retail sales for the quarter dropped 4.6%. There's still high demand for made-in-China products overseas, especially from the U.S. Chinese exports went up close to 18% in June. But going forward, Western economies are not expected to buy as much. U.S. companies shouldn't count on Chinese consumers either. Imports in June only went up by 1%. Unemployment is high, especially among fresh graduates. The property sector, which affects everything in China, continues to be weak. Plus, China's leaders are holding on to its COVID policies, which helped the Chinese economy a lot in the past. But the Omicron variant is highly infectious, which means the lockdowns are more frequent and harsher. In Shanghai, where some residents are being asked to stock up on food and medicine again, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
It is looking like West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin won't support the Democrats' latest economic package. It's a climate change and tax bill. This is a serious blow to what's left of President Biden's economic and climate agendas. Manchin would apparently support a scaled-down version, but it'd be a far cry from what Democrats initially envisioned. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has the details.
Senator Manchin had already torpedoed the Democrats' roughly $2 trillion Build Back Better Act. It included things like paid family leave and free preschool, along with housing assistance and Medicare expansion. At one point, Manchin appeared to support a smaller version of that bill. But now there are reports the West Virginia Democrat will only back even more limited legislation that would just extend federal subsidies for health care insurance and lower prescription drug costs. Manchin appears to be leery of any measures that could fan inflation. He issued a statement on Wednesday after June inflation data was released showing the consumer price index up about 9% from the same time last year. Manchin said, quote, "We cannot add any more fuel to this inflation fire." The Democrats can't pass anything without Manchin's backing, since they have such a narrow majority in the Senate. Now they have to decide if they want to pursue the scaled-back legislation he says he would support. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Rent is one of the top three contributors to inflation right now. In New York, for example, average rent was up 22% year over year in the second quarter. Nationally, estimates suggest rents have gone up 10 to 14% since last year. It all boils down to supply and demand. Even before the pandemic in 2019, the U.S. was short 3.8 million homes, both places to rent and places to own. That's according to a new report out from the research group Up for Growth. The shortage is double what it was in 2012, and it's a big part of why home prices and rents are up so much. Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports.
We've known for a long time that there's not enough housing in certain parts of the country.
Coastal California and Boston and New York and D.C. weren't building enough and have been getting very expensive.
But Jenny Schutz at the Brookings Institution says now that's the case in a lot of other regions, too.
It's really amazing to look at how many places that historically have built a lot of housing and have been pretty moderately priced are running out of kind of easy land and becoming more expensive in a pretty short period of time.
Places like Salt Lake City, Boise, Austin, Detroit, Atlanta. More than half of all metro areas in the country now have a housing shortage, Up for Growth found. Schutz says a big part of the reason is that we haven't been building enough new housing for a decade now.
We stopped building houses altogether for a few years in the Great Recession. Production just fell off a cliff. You know, it was hard to get a loan. People weren't buying homes. People weren't moving out of their parents' houses.
And we still haven't made that deficit up. Chris Herbert at Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies says it's also become harder to build in many places.
There's very little area in most markets that's zoned for anything other than single-family homes on relatively large lots. And so it's just very hard to build housing anywhere close to the center of urban areas because most areas are built out.
A lot of cities and towns prohibit multifamily housing or even just denser single-family housing. Take Connecticut.
The vast majority of land is zoned for very low-density housing. 91% was zoned for single-family housing only, and only 2% of the land was zoned for a multifamily of four units or more.
If cities and states are going to make any kind of real dent in the housing shortage and make housing more affordable again, Herbert says that is going to have to change. And it's starting to in some states.
We're seeing it happen in Massachusetts. We're seeing it happen in Oregon and California, which have basically banned single-family zoning, and localities have to allow higher density housing.
All states, Herbert says, where there's already a real affordability crisis. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are Brian Allison, Jake Cherry, and Jessen Dueler. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.